This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Patriots come hard. He fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, and all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back-to-back. Three out of four. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots take on Doug Martin and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
It's week number three. Patriots take on the Buccaneers today at Gillette Stadium, and welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. I'm Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Darren Hartwell is in our poll center. We'll be getting to the polls shortly. Pats, Bucks today. Guys, let me ask you this. What kind of team are we going to see in the Tampa Bay Bucks today? How much credit should we give them? How much of a threat are they to the Patriots in this game today?
I think they're every bit the threat the first two teams were, certainly. I mean, they have playmakers on both sides of the football. Like the first two teams, there's some questions at quarterback. But, I mean, Vincent Jackson, we've seen him make plays against his team in the past as a member of the Chargers. They got a legit franchise-type running back, a good offensive line, good defensive line. Best corner in football. I mean, the pieces are there if Josh Freeman can make a couple plays.
I agree. I think that this is probably a little bit more talented team than either one of the ones that they faced the first 2 weeks. So if you're looking at it from before the season started, I would have said no threat at all. But if you're looking at it based on what you've seen so far and the level of talent that Tampa Bay has as opposed to Buffalo and New York, I'd say it's a tough game. It's a toss-up.
Because we have some breaking news off Twitter, Paul, Ninkovich has reached an extension.
Yeah, Mike Reese, that's why I was sort of looking down. It looked like Mike Reese has reported that Ninkovich signed an extension. I do not have any details on that yet because I can't find Mike's link.
I can't either, but I retweeted
Florio?
No, somebody else. I don't know. But I do think that's a good signing. You know, and people were like, oh, what do we need all this cap space for? And I don't know how much they had to use up to ink him, and they were over $10 million in cap space, and, you know, they got a little bit more in the Finene situation kind of coming to some closure. But that's a good – I mean, this is a guy that – he's not a star, but he is a core player for this team in the locker room, on the field, never gets hurt, always seems to have a knack to make a play when you need it. And he wanted to be here. They wanted him here. That's a good signing. Of any of the people they could have extended, I'm most excited about that. They could have done McCourty or they could have done Spikes. Ninkovich, to me, is the most important.
He's been out of those guys, the candidates, quote unquote, to get extended. He's played the best. He's been the most consistent performer, most steady performer. He deserves it.
He's been one of their best defensive players so far this season, has he not?
Yeah, and he has been one of their best.
In every season.
I think he's been one of their most consistent players since he sort of became a full-time player. I think he's been sort of an underrated guy. Last year, we were talking about him as sort of a borderline Pro Bowl type player.
He was close to becoming overrated, just so you know, doing that.
Overrated for you.
And I was, because I like him. It's a little bit personal. He's a good guy. He likes PFW and, you know, that all that. But I do think he's right on that cusp of
It's a fine line.
Pro Bowl, let's pump the brakes a little.
So Rob Ninkovich, according to Mike Reese, has signed an extension with the Patriots through 2016. So the Pats have locked up Rob Ninkovich.
And, are you looking at that? Any money details?
I'm not seeing any money details.
I bet he got some money at this point.
So that's 3 years then, right? This is 13, right?
14, 15, 16. That's a nice extension. You know, sometimes I question the Patriots' extensions and paying the wrong guys.
Let's wait before we deem it a great signing. You know, let's make sure
they didn't get
$8 million a year.
Yeah,
but
if it's a $30 million deal, that's not such a great deal.
No, but you know, if he got Kyle Arrington money, if it includes like $6 to $8 million in guarantees, I'd rather give him $8 million than I would Sebastian Vollmer, than I would Kyle Arrington. So I don't think it's going to be a break the bank money when you see it. A
little bit of breaking news here off the top today. Patriots locking up Rob Ninkovich for 3 years. You want to get involved in the program today, 855-PATS-500.
Now you know that I just gave him his – he started the show in his little, whatever you call this, stand with all the numbers.
Yeah.
Was on the opposite – it was almost in the poll center. He couldn't really see it.
And
now that
it
I put
me.
It near him,
now
he
it's
can
all the
really lead off the way he likes to.
Send the emails, webradio@patriots.com, and use the hashtag PPGS all morning long. And as we get into the afternoon and get ready for kickoff here at Gillette Stadium between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Patriots. And we talked a little bit just off the top about the Bucs. And about a month ago, we talked about the first 2 weeks of this season being preseason games number 5 and 6. And
yeah, that was stupid.
I had this being 7. That's why I said going into the season, that's why I have a whole different look at it now.
And Paul had even had this one pegged as preseason game number 7. And I was going to say, Paul, has that opinion for you changed?
Well,
and is it based on the Bucs?
No.
Or is it based on the Patriots
have played? Based on the Patriots. The Bucs lost to one of the preseason opponents. They lost to the Jets. So I don't. It's not because I think more of the Bucs than I did heading into the season. In fact, I think less of the Bucs than I did heading into the season. I think it's a rudderless ship right now, and they're just sort of drifting away. I think that the Patriots can do what they did even a week ago Thursday and get 10 quick points on the board and take an early 10-0 lead. I think this game will be over. Because I think Tampa Bay will quit. But the Patriots just haven't been able to establish a level of consistency, especially on offense, but overall as a team, for me to just sit there and say these teams that are inferior, they don't stand a chance.
Well, as the NFL Network reported this morning, Burt Breer had a report with some of the details related to this Buccaneers team having a meeting last month. Players-only meeting, and the point of the meeting was to get together and come up with all the gripes that the players had with head coach Greg Schiano. They then presented the list of problems that they had with their head coach to Schiano, and he said that he listened and he took what they had to say and then said that, you know, his players had to trust him. They had to trust that he knew what he was doing as a head coach. And that's when the players themselves started to question their own head coach's credentials, where they started to talk amongst themselves as, is this guy qualified to be an NFL head coach? That sounds like bad news for any team when you've got pretty much the entire team getting into meetings and coming up with lists of problems they have and then questioning whether or not the guy should even have his job.
On a pirate ship, that's called a
mutiny. On a pirate ship.
That's a mutiny.
So
it's a Buccaneer mutiny.
And that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's not going to end well. I mean, I know Mike Reese was trying to compare this to the Patriots in 00 and 01 when Brady took over and they beat the Colts and it was off from there. Yeah. If he has Tom Brady, if Mike Glennon is Tom Brady and he comes in and leads them to the Super Bowl, yep, he'll be fine.
Well, that's part of it, but I also wonder, I know that Belichick, Mike's not overstating the fact that Belichick was in hot water. His job was certainly in jeopardy.
But in a much different way.
But I don't remember it being like this. I don't
he
remember
had all
team
his guys.
Meeting. Yeah, I don't remember team meetings. I don't remember the players
Belichick
openly
had
griping.
Anthony Pleasant and Bobby Hamilton. Yeah. He had a core of quote his guys.
They weren't winning.
The griping was, you know, fans, you're losing. You know, right. We brought you in to win and you're not winning.
Yeah, they weren't winning, and that's obviously that's the bottom line, but I don't think it was the same way. I don't think I didn't think there was a lot of turmoil within his locker room. At least I don't remember it that way, and I certainly was in the locker room every day, just like you were. And you were around at that time.
Yep.
in a couple of capacities. So,
yep.
I just don't see the correlation other than the fact that these guys are friends and the quarterback. You know, clearly Drew was not playing very well, and they were thinking about making a change. Although, you know, you talk to all those guys. You know, you talk to Bill and you talk to Charlie Weiss and they insist that, you know, it was injury-related. That's why they made they weren't convinced they were going to make a change ever.
So you've got a situation here in Tampa where if they do get down, what kind of fight are they going to have left? I mean, the things they're complaining about are practice. They thought practice was too hard. What kind of football team do you have when you're – I mean, with the new CBA and all the new rules that went into place about practices and how many times you can go in full pads, everything that was built into that CBA to really – take a lot away in terms of the hard practices that these guys deal with. And they're still complaining about it, saying it's too hard to practice. The quarterback for this team, for Tampa Bay, and Josh Freeman, is a guy who's lost his captaincy. He was a captain, now he's not. He has played poorly, very inconsistent player. he showed some signs early in his career, and I just don't give Tampa Bay a lot of credit. I don't. I don't think that they're, as you mentioned, Andy, if Freeman can put it together, they've got the pieces. I don't think they have Freeman to the point where he could put it together and actually do any kind of damage.
Yeah, I mean, we see it every week. It's up to the quarterback, and I've never been a Freeman guy. Early in his career when people liked him, he was making these like late game heroics and these throws, and it just didn't seem something that was sustainable to me. And he clearly hasn't grown from there. He's actually probably regressed a little bit, and it certainly doesn't help to have the coach feud aspect of this. That doesn't help with the improvement there at the quarterback position. But to me, almost a bigger issue is Darrell Revis. Like, you traded for this guy to be the heart of your defense. Freeman is not a Shiano guy. Darrell Revis is a Shiano guy. You've gotten rid of guys who weren't yours, and you went out and said, I want Darrell Revis on my team. And 2 weeks in, he's supposedly bitching about what you're calling on defense and asking him to do. That's really bad to me.
It's a problem.
I think Darrell Revis is a DB.
What?
Of course
I like
he is.
That.
But, I mean, he's a guy that has tried to, like, throw his weight around every year, whether it's money or something, and he's doing it again in Tampa, and he probably smells blood in the water already, so, you know, as a veteran with stature, he probably feels like he can, but to me, that's really bad news.
We'll talk more about the opponent today in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune, and we go behind enemy lines. That's coming up in just a short time.
Is he Cummings down to the studio?
That I am not sure of at this point.
We're efforting that.
Exactly.
Tell him
Thank
we got
you.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Maybe we can bribe him with a few donuts or a bagel.
Couple of things, switching gears toward the Patriots. There were reports, Andy, who did you say had the report that said that the Patriots were actively...
Hub Arkush, who is the former head of Pro Football Weekly
PFW.
And remains a sideline analyst for Westwood One on, right. I believe, Sunday Night Football. Kind of a, you know, a league-wide insider said he had
the
already
Patriots
heard.
Are making inquiries about acquiring wide receivers. Just over Andy's shoulder on the NFL pregame show on ESPN, the countdown, Sunday countdown, they put the Browns receivers up there. Both Josh Morgan and Greg Little are being made available by Cleveland. Now, we all know that Cleveland has some guys, Michael Lombardi, some friends of Bill, FOBs we like to call them. That would make sense to me if they were talking. So maybe a guy like Josh Morgan, you know, who Patriots fans have had on the Patriots for like a year and a half now. I actually went on this with Andy. I was like, who is Josh? What is this Josh? Why does everybody automatically assume he's a Patriot? And Andy, you know, was sort of talking about, you know, his whole story for me. And quickly, Andy's back. Just as quickly
so
as
So is
left.
Josh Gordon, by the way, making his season debut coming off suspension.
Right. Well, I don't know if you heard that part of it, but the Mort and Schefter are reporting that the Browns have made them available, both Morgan and Little. So if the Patriots are
a big Greg Little guy.
If the Patriots are talking, I don't have any interest in Morgan either. I know Patriots
fans
are dying to get him.
Gordon, you mean?
Gordon. Did I say Josh Morgan?
Yeah.
Different guy. Different receiver.
Neither
Josh
of those
Gordon.
Names get me excited.
Well, as the old saying goes, beggars can't be choosers.
That's true.
I mean, you know, good, you know, valuable, economically safe players are on teams and are very happily on those teams right now. If
That's
you want to get a guy, you know, we start with
Aqib
Talib. You know, he's a guy that had baggage and the coach Shiano wanted him out.
Yeah, I'm not sure this guy's that good. I don't know about the baggage. You know,
I don't know. I know he made some
like
plays
Kenny Britt,
last year.
Kenny Britt, I could understand. You know, that's the Talib equivalent. Well, if you want him, he's certainly a talented guy, but he comes with baggage. I don't want
risk.
Him.
I
don't
There's
want
risk
him.
There.
But there could be reward.
But I'm not sure that Gordon is that level. You know, is a difference maker.
I'm with you on Britt
Let's
because in those situations, the same applied to Aqib Talib. You can get rid of them as fast as you acquired them.
Yeah, but you need them to be good.
That's what they need, exactly.
Right.
And you wouldn't want that move to prevent another move that they could make in a trade that would, you know, be a guy that could provide them with some quality receiving and also then not be an issue, not have that risk.
But the off-field issue is another layer here given the Aaron Hernandez situation.
Well, that's
you know,
what
we're not
about
at the
Britt,
same place
yeah.
we were last year when they acquired Talib. You know, the things have changed. You know, what does Fred like to say? Circumstances on the ground have changed in a big way. And I'm not sure what the organizational appetite would be for a guy with baggage.
Speaking of receivers, Karen Garishan of the Boston Herald reporting that according to a source, don't count on Rob Gronkowski playing today. Pretty much zero chance.
Yes, and the crap sheet, Ian Rappaport, went on NFL Network this morning and said, Interestingly, I think here, it's not the back that's holding him
strangely
back.
Strangely enough,
it's
him.
The forearm has not returned to full strength.
That's not good.
No.
That is not good. That's not a good sign for Rob Gronkowski.
Boy needs to drink some damn milk.
So Rob Gronkowski doesn't look like he will play today. Danny Amendola, as we know, or we can assume, will not play today as he deals with the groin injury.
Completely torn from the bone, according to, who's the other one from NFL? Breer.
According to Burt Breer, completely torn from the bone. That requires surgery, right?
No.
No?
Not based on everything we've heard. I don't think it's good. But
I'm not saying now, but does it require surgery at some point?
I don't know. All I know is from people I've talked to is you can get by it. There's other muscles that sort of take over. You can continue to play. You know, there is a rest period that you need to go through to reach even that point. I'm not sure the exact long-term ramifications. Just a side topic here, Paul Perillo, just to update you on Josh Gordon, if you have any interest. Played, caught 50 of 96 passes last year, targeted 96 times, 50
catches.
Fit
right in then.
805 yards, 16.1 average, had a long of 71, had 5 touchdowns, and 40 FDs.
First
I don't know. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
Never played football before?
So just to give you a feel for sort of what he was. Down the stretch last year. You know, 3 catches, 1 catch, 4 catch. Didn't have a long over 20 in his last 5 games. So, you know, just a guy. Let me give you his height and weight in case you're interested. 6'3", 225 pounds, Paul Perillo. 22 years old. He's a 2 out of Baylor.
Thanks.
Anything else?
There's
some personal information.
From Houston, Texas.
Okay.
April 13th is his birthday.
Wife
shares
and
that
kids?
With Jackson Hart.
What else you have?
Same birthday as my son.
Oh, very nice.
Who, by the way, making his first visit to Gillette Stadium for a game today.
Crapsheet says 3 years, $15 million. More than worth
Love
more,
it.
More than $15 million with 8.5 guaranteed.
Love it. Right in the range.
Makes him the third highest paid Pats defender.
Which is apparently what we give guys now, $8 million. We gave it to Arrington. We gave it to Vollmer guaranteed. Now it's Ninkovich. He is the most worthy of it.
And if you're just tuning in, that's Rob Ninkovich signing an extension today with the Patriots through 2016, according to reports. And that's at about $5 million a year.
I like it. Defensive end, starter. Guy who doesn't get hurt, makes plays for you, not big money.
Consistent player.
Cannot complain about that deal on any level.
Paul, do you approve?
Absolutely.
Okay, there
absolutely.
We go. I want to get the
big, approval. Big Ninko fan.
Big
huge,
on that.
Huge Ninko fan.
Maybe he can afford a razor now.
855-PATS-500 is the telephone number if you want to jump on board here in the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and get your emails coming in as well. You can send us an email at webradio@patriots.com. So it looks like Gronk is out. Amendola not expected to play. Can these
Wookiees at receiver now.
But we'll have Gordon. We'll just bring Gordon over and let him play.
Well, I saw you retweeted it that Schefter says at least one team has made. I don't think that's the Patriots because I generally assume if Bill Belichick offered Mike Lombardi one of these donuts from Dunkin' Donuts,
he would have taken
the deal because he's a friend of Bill Belichick and would just, you know, let him do whatever he wanted to him.
Assume the position, Mike.
Okay. All right, then. Can the rookies, can this team count on these guys, and are they going to make any kind of leap
yes.
at some point? You
big
think
leap
so?
Today.
You think it's today?
Big leap. Big leap. Aaron Dobson going to be making plays all over the field. I'm feeling it.
Why don't you give you a little disclaimer? Unless.
He doesn't?
He gets covered by somebody.
Oh, well, any guy that if Revis is on him, I take out of the equation. You know, that's why, you know, if they choose to match him up with Julian Edelman, which theoretically is your number one receiver right now, tied for the league lead in receptions, okay, remove Edelman from the equation. I actually think it's interesting from a Brady perspective, and I know we're not in the keys of the game yet, but, just for him to approach this, if Revis isn't matched up, I think that almost adds a wrinkle for him. In some ways, okay, I'm not throwing a Revis. You know, I think he has a lot of respect for Revis.
Right.
If he doesn't know where he is, there's some pre-snap reads and things that make it a little more strenuous on him. And we know he's a little stressed out lately.
Yeah, I would definitely try to avoid Revis a little bit, especially when dealing with the rookies. Because you're combining now an excellent cover cornerback with some uncertainty as to where those rookies are.
855-PATS-500 is the telephone number. Jeff is in Vegas, and he'll lead us off on the phone lines today on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hi, Jeff. I will not hang up on you this week. I promise.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Tremendous. I wouldn't believe him. He might hang up on you.
Yeah, I hit on my 10,000 star play last Thursday, so it's unfortunate that I wasn't able to get out there, incidentally.
Well, if you did that well, good. You can buy lunch next week. I look forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Last week is last week. We're always moving forward here in the parlance of Coach Belichick. Quick question about the Matthew Slater injury, guys. Does anyone know anything about Tampa's punt return? Could that affect field position, having him out?
It has been just average. Eric Page handles both kicks and punts. Hasn't really done much with it. Andy and I were joking about this because I just noticed that they had the same guy that returned both kicks and punts. I had to look up to see what his first name was. And then I was telling Andy about it, and then all of a sudden we get on to the press conference on, Wednesday, and Bill was running down all the different elements of Tampa Bay. And he said, you know, Page done a nice job for him on returns on both kicks and punts. And I was like, see? See?
That's because obviously Jeff Demps didn't show up.
I don't think it's a huge strength of their game, no.
Yeah, okay. Because I know Rex almost jinxed later last or 10 days ago saying how what a weapon he was. Heard just the thing about Gronk's arm being still withholding him up. That doesn't imply that there's anything off schedule about the forearm, I've heard. I think it's still putting him on target, you know, next week or the week after. I don't think there's any sort of setback implied in the forearm, is there?
I believe, my interpretation is that there is. That's how I can't believe that he is still hindered by that forearm. And I know people are speculating that it's obviously the muscle has atrophied and he's not as strong in that. I don't believe that's what you're talking about. To me, if a guy's weaker, he's going to get on the field. You're not waiting for him to be able to, you know, French curl the same weight that he could before he was on the field. You're waiting for him to be healthy enough to play so that that arm is healed. I consider the strength, it's not back to full strength, to mean the bone, the arm, that they're not willing to risk it like they did the last time when he got hurt. So I think that's problematic. When I saw that, I did not take that as good news. I took it as bad news.
All right, well, hopefully he gets in there next week. Well, guys, as far as the number goes, there's been some line movement. That 7.5 New England is favored by has dropped down to 7. Over under state stat at 44.
I am going to take the Patriots to win and cover, and I am going to take the under.
I'm going to take Tampa in the under.
I'm taking the Patriots in the under.
Although I have 7.5.
We're all on the under here.
Well, the beautiful segue, guys. That brings us to the Jeff and Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Guys, I'm with you on the under. Both offenses are still sort of struggling a bit. Go under the 44. As far as the side, Jeff and Vegas takes New England.
Oh, nice. Oh, there we go, Jeff. Solid pick.
I like it. Have some confidence in your team.
There you go.
Yeah, I think Revis might be diluted a little bit. Fine, let him key on Edelman. I mean, there's just so little out there receiver-wise. I think Revis won't be as much of a weapon because there's no really receiver to lock down on. I think the general public has caught on. The majority are going against New England. They think there's still problems. I see the Patriots coasting easily. They're going to win by 10 or more. Lock it in. Take the pass and the under.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for the call. It's locked
talk
in.
Talk to you next week. Thanks for lunch next
Jeff.
Week, too.
Locked in. Let's talk to us.
Would you put Revis on Edelman?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't.
I think I would.
I would say throw the ball to him as many times as you want. I just make sure that no one makes a big play.
See, I would do it for the reaction to see what Brady would do. You know, what's he going to do? Who does he throw to? And I still have doubts about that relationship between the quarterback and the young receivers. I would see what happens.
I talked about this a little bit when I visited with you, Beetle, during the week with Felgi and Maz. I just think that Edelman's not
again.
I mean, I'm not saying that Edelman can't make any plays because he can, but I think that if you keep him in the middle and let it, you know, just tackle. I mean, I wouldn't. I think it's a waste of Revis's skills, to be honest with you.
I'm with Andy.
Guy
honestly,
averaging six
I'd
yards
put him
a
on
catch.
Edelman. I'd put him on Edelman because
I would too. And just see what happens.
He's the one real threat.
Now
he's the one guy who's consistent.
Well,
but
they're all
threats,
quote unquote.
I look at the game last week and say that, if you could have, I mean, I know that Dobson didn't do much, but if you take away his 40 yard touchdown, you win the game. Edelman, 13 catches didn't really impact the game.
Let's talk to Scott, who's representing the Patriots fan club of Arizona. Scott's up next. Hi, Scott.
How you doing, gentlemen?
What's up? What's going on in the desert?
Hey, well, we're actually up in Foxboro this weekend. This is our annual, this is our eighth club road trip this weekend, so we're actually in the parking lot tailgating.
Nice. How many people you got with you?
We brought up about 25 to 30 this year.
Nice.
And what are we eating, more importantly?
Everything. You name it. Steak tips, lobster, quahogs, you name it. We got it.
you got any hot ladies with you?
There's quite a few.
I expect some photos to be sent in to webradiopatriots.com or hashtag PPGS.
Some wet t-shirts, well, perhaps,
yes,
in the
yes.
rain.
If that happens, it's Mother Nature. We can't, you know, can't censor it. It's Mother Nature.
It's wet out there today.
Yeah. We'll have to get some of the jackets off, but we'll see what we can do.
All right. Now, how about this game? Are you, how concerned are you?
You know, it's pretty much the same group that played last week, and if they were on the road, I'd be really worried, but I think it's going to be a close game. I think if the defense, it looks like the defense is going to have to bail us out for a while, so if they can play well today, we should win this. It may be close, but we should take it.
Any concerns at all about maybe Tampa Bay being desperate? And, you know, the season kind of hanging on a, you know, hanging by a thread here?
They're a decent football team. And, you know, if they can get past their secondary a couple of times, that's probably what worries me more is those nice long deep passes. But I think this one will squeak it out somehow.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Scott, thanks for the call. Send us that photo. Webradio@patriots.com. That's where you want to send that. All right, Scott.
Thanks,
representing
Scott.
The Patriots fan club.
Did you hang up on him?
Harrison, no, he hung up on us.
Oh,
he was
right.
He was no longer with us. So
Wow. Hopefully
Scott is still listening and he can, or he heard that before he hung up. If you're tailgating today, if you're out in the parking lots like Scott is, send us pictures of what you're doing to get ready for the game.
Web radio. It's kind of into our routine now. First Sunday, you know, 1 o'clock home
game.
Yeah,
this is now a regular.
Yeah, you know, what are you doing? What's how are you getting ready? I know the weather's not great here, but it seemed like it sort of at least the rain subsided.
I think it's a perfect day for football.
Perfect day for football.
Perfect football weather out there. Perfect New England football weather. And if you're getting ready for the game, you're tailgating or whatever it is.
What are you doing? Let us know.
We want to know about it. Webradio@patriots.com is where you send those photos. You can also check out our polls at facebook.com/New England Patriots. And we're going to get to the poll center and find out what the question is and get to some of your emails before we also get to the keys to the game. That's all coming up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Come on, man. All right, man. Grab a Budweiser and take a knee.
Sure.
It is the best time of the year. It's baseball season. That means sunshine. It means behind-the-back peanut tosses. And it means sharing some cold, frosty Budweisers with your boys. Because there's nothing more American than watching America's game with America's beer. So let me ask you something. Are you ready to bring your A-game? Are you ready to cheer every frozen rope down the line and amazing catch at the warning track? Are you ready for pitcher's duels and slugfests? Tell me, are you ready for the thrill of an incredible walk-off victory? I can't hear you. Are you ready for Budweiser and baseball? Then get on your feet, raise an ice-cold Bud, and let's make this season larger than life. We're caught away. Get some Bud!
Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Want to be a Patriot season ticket holder? Join the Patriot season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriot season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'm Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Darren Hartwell is in the poll center, and it's time to go to the poll center for the first time today. Darren, what do we got?
All right, the question today, how many receptions will Julian Edelman have today?
Is there options?
There are options.
Who's covering him?
Yeah, well, this basically comes down to if you think that Andy's right and Beatles right, it's going to be Revis. Or if I'm right and they just say, go ahead and catch 13 more, you can't beat me that way.
We got less than 5, 5 to 7, 8 to 10, or 10 or more.
I'm going to say 5 to 7.
I would take 5 to 7 as well.
I will take 5 to 7.
We all agree. All right. That's a problem.
It's a little weird.
That's the most voted answer, 36%.
Fans are smart. They've come to realize that they get educated by this show.
They must be listening.
Second most is 10 or more, though.
Really?
27%.
Not homers.
Yeah. I'm going to ask, is that bad? Is that bad for the Patriots in this offense if he has to catch another 10, 12, 14 passes?
Yeah, it'll be indicative of them playing the way they played in the last game.
And no one else stepping up.
I would reserve judgment to see what he does with those. Is it more like week one, where he was productive with his catches, or week two, where he, in my opinion, really wasn't?
Is he capable of being, quote-unquote, productive with his catches as the only option, Paul Perillo? You can't shrug on radio.
Shrugged.
He just shrugged. We're on
it's
the
impossible.
Radio.
It's impossible to know. You know, he had 13 catches for 78 yards the other day. Now, if Tom Brady doesn't miss him wide open for a bomb, his numbers look totally different.
Sure.
And he would have been productive as the only option.
So it's Brady's fault.
In that particular play, I think it was.
Blame Brady.
I mean, I know I usually don't do that until the postseason, it's but true. In this particular case, I think he missed a wide-open guy.
Brady against the Jets, 19 of 39. Do you think he will complete more than 19 passes today?
Yes.
Yes.
I hope.
Does that make for bad radio?
I was going to say, you hope. Yeah, it does kind of.
I mean, we're due for another.
That's okay.
Like, last Thursday was the ugliest game I've ever seen. It was drop passes, bad quarterback play, 50% completion percentage type game, and we could be in for another. We're two of the three lowest completion percentages in football will be competing on this field that's outside our door today. Josh Freeman is one of only two players with a lower completion percentage than Tom Brady. That's what we're looking at.
And I also would say that they punted 11 times against the Jets. I don't expect them, even when they're terrible offensively, to punt 11 times. That's a lot of punts.
Bill should just go for it every time.
Actually, no, so,
you know, pass.
I don't
actually,
think
I take that back.
I mean, they had more yardage against Buffalo, but it was a better offensive performance, but it wasn't that much better.
Oh no,
and they threw the ball 52 times, you know, while running for about 160 more yards. So
I would expect more
than 19 completions.
When can I beat my drum over the offensive line needs to step up and do something? Do we have time for that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com is where
he's
you send
the host.
Them.
It's his show.
William writes in. Is
it really gets under
line.
Your skin, doesn't it?
What? That it's his show?
Yeah. That he's the host.
Big picture of him on the website. No pictures of Paul and Andy.
There's a picture. I have a picture on the website?
Yes.
Do I really?
Last time I checked, or maybe
that's
the first
I've heard
show.
About
it might
that.
Be the post-game.
Might be the post-game show, but I see a lot of you on the website in that
All
big
right.
box.
I love that. William writes in. Trade question. Real football, not fantasy football. A trade question. Guys, is Freeman gettable? Listen to this. Not for Brady, for Mallett, and say a fifth. I think Tampa would be nuts to do it, but Shiano and Freeman seem to have a split. What do you think? More importantly, what does your guest from Tampa think? We'll find out.
Got some breaking news off Twitter.
Oh, breaking news.
Not really news, but a report from the crap sheet yet again.
Yes.
What Mike Silver and I are reporting. Tom Brady himself has been calling and texting Deion Branch and Brandon Lloyd, gauging their availability. So that could be the report where, you know, six teams contacted Brandon Lloyd, including the Patriots. Apparently that meant Tom Brady was contacting. That's not good. This is in Tom Brady's head. I don't care for it. It's bad news.
That's sad, is what that is.
It is. He had 2 weeks with young guys, which he says, oh, I've done more than ever with these guys dating back to the spring and blah, 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 and I treat them like my three-year-old, blah, blah, blah. What is he doing?
But he is now texting on his own former receivers on this team trying to gauge their interest in coming back. Wow. And Mike Silver in on that report. We know Mike Silver has a good relationship with the Brady people.
Yes.
And Tom Brady himself. So, you know, there's probably some good reporting there. That's an interesting
that's
development.
That's not good.
Back to this idea about trading for Josh Freeman. I say no way. What about you guys? Would you ever acquire Josh Freeman?
For what?
If you are any NFL team.
So he wants to trade Mallett for
Would you take
Freeman?
On Josh Freeman as a project? Do you think he's worthy of being a project for somebody?
No.
I don't think so either.
I didn't really love him coming out of college. I remember thinking that was a surprise first-round pick. I think he went like 18.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It was definitely a surprise pick and different regime. I have no interest in Josh.
I don't either. Al from Italy writes in two questions. How stupid is Andy, number one?
Stupid as your mother.
Now the serious question. Why is everyone so happy with the defense? We just played with the New York Morons and the Buffalo Stooges. I'm so scared for today. Is this Arizona in 2012? As always, less Andy, more Paul. P.S. The Italian toll-free number isn't working. We'll get on that. You got that for us, Andy?
I don't even have that one listed here. Oh. That was a new one they added this week.
Hey, Adam Kaplan reports that, and we were talking about Josh Gordon, and just that he's been on the block for several weeks. Banner is adamant about getting him. He wants him out. Very clear, source said, wants him out. Okay. So that's, you know, we were talking about the, you know, the off field, and does that matter, you know, in this current climate, does it matter a little more than maybe it did last year at this time? I don't know. You know, maybe that would prevent them from making a move like that.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. You got something?
Just the follow-up on the first rap sheet report was that Deion Branch has told Tom he's ready whenever. hanging in Kentucky.
That's what I would expect him to say, but honestly, does Deion Branch have anything left that he can really offer
no.
this team?
He'd be great off the field.
If he has to step on the field and do anything, I have no confidence, A, he's going to get open, but B, I hate it even more because, well, we already know it's in Brady's head.
That's the only part of the argument that I buy.
That is
strange. He's just going to throw to him, and it's pulling the plug out from underneath the rookies.
I think it hurts the rookies if you make a move like that.
And why would Brady think that Branch could give him more than what he could get out of a rookie if he was working with a rookie receiver?
Well, because he knows where he's going to be. He's going to be exactly where he wants him to be. There'll be but a defensive the problem back is,
Andy,
in his back pocket.
Yeah, but that's what he's
there.
Dealing
but
with
Andy,
now.
Andy, not no, always. It's not a matter of having
you
the
just
guy.
Said Julian Edelman was open. He missed him. He missed.
Oh, I'm talking about the rookies.
I believe he missed Aaron Dobson. I think he could have made a better throw.
Could have made
it's
a better throw.
It's a drop,
throw
but he could have made a better throw.
Could have made a better throw on
I mean,
that play.
There has been signs that these rookies can get open. Hit them. Stop texting. Okay, we have the inactive, so I'll read that. Well, breaking news left and right here on Twitter. Patriots inactives. Will Svitek, Leon Washington, Rob Gronkowski, Matt Slater, Danny Amendola, Steve Beauharnais, and Chris Jones. So the interesting ones, obviously, Gronkowski and Amendola out. Slater out with that reported broken wrist. And Leon Washington, another week here. Well, he will not be returning kicks. The flip side of that is Brandon Bolden, now an option in the backfield if you're looking to run the football today, because he is active.
You want to continue your rant? Pick it right back up where you were?
What was it?
About stop texting.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to be... You know, this is where I start to say it's fair to criticize him for never developing a young receiver. Because the other issues I've always said, well, it's not like those guys went on to be good elsewhere. They may have just been personnel decisions where they brought in the wrong young receivers. They weren't that good. But he's spending time texting. Hey, Branch. Hey. First of all, Lloyd was an a-hole that they released. It's not like Brandon Lloyd was like this great, you know, he had to work all last year to throw the ball twice as often to Lloyd to get him to catch it. And that's the guy he's begging to come back. Apparently, oh, Brandon, you want to come back and help me? Wait, you weren't that good last year. This seems to be so far in Brady's skull that it's not even funny.
That's so wasted. Kind of funny. That's my skull.
I don't know what that means.
I got to be honest with you. I don't blame him for texting Lloyd, but Deion Branch, forget it.
Wait, you'd rather have Lloyd, the guy who we made fun of last year, is now the guy we want?
Oh, maybe,
the guy
maybe
who
you
fell
made
down
because
he sucked.
Because he was terrible.
He didn't make a single play. He fell down every time he caught the ball. They had to throw it to him twice as often.
And oh, by
catches.
The way, they didn't like him.
Right. And oh, by the way, he was a whack job.
All of those things
he's
are
now
probably
preparing
true.
For a made-for-DVD movie.
So 2 weeks in... We're just going to pull the plug on our second-round pick, Aaron Dobson. We're going to pull the plug on the guy who we made a starter basically all summer in Kenbrell Tompkins. He was the, you know, great story of the summer. We're just going to pull the plug and bring back these Jags. Because at this point in their career, these guys are Jags. Deion Branch was once great. He once won a Super Bowl MVP. He is an absolute Jag right now. Nicest guy in the world, but can't play.
I think the rookies are at the level of just being Jags.
Yes, but
that's
there's potential
are.
To get better. Deion Branch is not going to get better.
No, I'm
Deion
I'm
Branch
completely
is not going to carry
Deion
you to
Branch.
A Super
Deion
Bowl.
Deion Branch, his career is over. He
Aaron Dobson
an
and Kenbrell Tompkins, if they reach what you thought they could when you drafted them and signed them, they have potential. They have ability. You need to cultivate that. Stop texting. Stop whining. Stop yelling. Cultivate.
My fear is, Andy, is that it is in his head when we're talking about Brady, and he's never really done it with very many guys. He did it with Branch. He developed Branch.
Right. Givens and Branch the last time. But that's when he was a developing player in his own right. Nobody could turn their back on him like Teddy Bruschi said they wanted to. They had to coddle him. So it was the defense. We had to wait for this young quarterback named Tom Brady to come along.
I missed that. When did he say that?
My question is...
This week, I think.
My question is at
pretty
the
sure
age of 36, is he going to be able to do it? Is he going to do
it? Apparently not, because he's not going to try.
That's what I mean.
Bill, I'm going to text. Bill, I'll let you know if they get back to me. It's like this little schoolgirl.
I'm
going
to have Kevin save this rant.
Why?
So when we talk on PFW in Progress, and I say the things about Brady that aren't always, he's the greatest quarterback who's ever put on a uniform,
yeah, you think he's
and you yell at me, I'm going to have this played back to you.
Blame everything on him. This is something that's clearly only on him. Only he can text.
Here's what I blame on him.
Well, from his phone, I mean.
The only thing that makes me
like,
different.
He cannot catch it and throw it too. Can you help him?
The only thing that makes me different is others blame nothing
one of those
on him.
Stupid accents again from Andy.
Well, he has the Giselle one is just.
I
beyond,
struggle with my
beyond
Brazilian.
Belief bad.
But it's hard.
There are people that blame absolutely nothing on Brady.
Well, I don't see how you can look at this any other way as a poor reflection on Tom Brady.
Like you had mentioned a couple of throws on the game the other night.
If you were so worried about it, why didn't you bitch about it in the spring, in the summer, and actually when they could have done something?
The first game against Buffalo, I thought Brady played as well as you could possibly play. I thought he fit some passes into really, really tight windows. I thought that the guys that he was throwing to weren't consistently open in that game, and yet he found a way in the fourth quarter to put points on the board and win the game. The other night against the Jets, I don't think that he was particularly sharp. And I think that you brought up the bomb to Dobson. Yes, the ball should have been caught. He got both hands on it. The ball, an NFL receiver needs to make that catch. But he should have been catching that ball in stride and waltzing into the end zone. The bomb to Kenbrell Tompkins that he has to dive and lay out for in the end zone. Again, you could argue that the ball needs to be caught. But that's not a great throw. I think he was off a little bit. I think he missed some throws in that game. But you don't hear that from anybody, really. You don't hear anybody put any of this, on him.
No,
it's all about
fault.
These new guys
about
and
the young receivers.
They don't know where they're supposed to be. And
it's
ridiculous.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. There's been a number of breaking news stories today. This one being the latest. NFL Network, Mike Silver. And Ian Rappaport reporting that Tom Brady has been personally texting both Deion Branch and Brandon Lloyd to gauge their interest in coming back and playing
Lloyd!
For the Patriots. That's right, Lloyd.
The Lloyd one really bothers me.
Patriots inactives today. Rob Gronkowski and Danny Amendola among them. Also Matthew Slater, Bo Harness, Svitek, Leon Washington, Chris Jones. Those are your inactives for the Patriots today. Also Rob Ninkovich. News this morning, he has signed a 3-year contract extension with the Patriots, according to reports, somewhere in the range of $5 million a year. More than $8 million of that deal is guaranteed. Let's get back to today's game and what's going to happen on the field here in Foxborough today and get to our keys to the game.
You've
already
all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
Andy and Paul, what do you guys think? Patriots, Buccaneers today. What are the keys to a Patriots victory in this game?
I think the first key is, and a lot of parents know this, dealing with teenagers, is take the cell phone away from Tom Brady and make him play with the players that are actually on his team. Keep him from texting and whining and bitching and trying to bring in receivers to help him. You have healthy receivers. You have receivers that showed how to get open last week. Have some confidence. Cultivate them. So that's my first key. My second key is to stop Doug Martin. I think you need to. They did it in opening day against C.J. Spiller, obviously a very different kind of back. What the hell is going on in the background while I'm talking? I got babies playing.
It's the muscle hamster.
Oh, okay. Yes, the muscle hamster. Shut him down. Different challenge, interior challenge here. Obviously, they have two very good guards that it looks like both are going to play this week. He's a downhill interior runner who can break some big plays, but you need to make them one-dimensional and say, Josh Freeman, you complete less passes than Tom Brady does. Now, I don't know if you've texted other receivers to try to bring them in to help your cause down there, but try to make Josh Freeman make plays, and that starts with having to stop Doug Martin, and that concerns me a little bit. Will Fork looked a little last week, didn't have his best game. You have Tommy Kelly, who's dealing with a wife who's about to have a baby at any time, and then the only other guy is Joe Villano. And I know we have the one listener who projected him to be a superstar, but if Joe Villano needs to play a ton, that could be problematic. So I just shut down Martin and somehow get Brady to try to throw the ball to his young receivers.
Yeah, that's clearly, I think, going to be their focus is Doug Martin, and I agree with everything Andy just said about that. Run defense hasn't been great,
nope.
Especially for their standards. They did a great job with Spiller, but Jackson, hurt them a little bit opening day. And then I thought the Jets really did a nice job of staying balanced, really, without hitting any big plays in the running game. They did a nice job of keeping the down and distance very manageable with Bilal Powell and Chris Ivory against the Jets. My key is going to be a little bit different, and Andy sort of touched upon it. We talked about Josh
taking
Freeman
the cell phone away.
Is not a high-percentage passer. But what you can do... when you're not a high-percentage passer, anybody can do it. You can just throw the ball up for grabs for a guy. And one of the best in the league at that is Vincent Jackson. I think the key to this game, Beadle, is the two safeties, Devin McCourty and Steve Gregory. They cannot just let Josh Freeman throw a ball up 50-plus yards. Pass interference penalties can be huge. Vincent Jackson just making one catch over that. You cannot let these guys get behind you. You cannot give up free points. This is a team that cannot score. Tampa Bay has some weapons on offense, but their quarterback is just playing at a pathetically low level right now. Do not give up cheap points, and I think that's really incumbent on McCourty and Gregory. Key to the game.
What do you think about the Patriots' defense after 2 weeks? Can this team consistently win on defense? Has the defense really made improvements, or you're still waiting for Atlanta or for New Orleans or one of those, better teams?
Yes.
Still waiting for those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think they could – have a similar game today. And it's great that they're stringing them together. And, you know, we always talk about doing what's expected of you and you know, taking advantage of the matchup at hand, whatever it is. But I'll still need to see them do it against a legitimate quarterback who's completing, you know, a decent amount of passes and legitimate weapons and a legitimate team.
Yeah, now the bottom line results have been good, Beadle, but in watching the games, especially the Jets game, I felt like there were a lot of plays to be made by the other team's offense that just weren't made. They sacked Geno Smith four times, but I didn't think they had a tremendous amount of pressure on him. I thought they were, for the most part, situations where Smith didn't know where to go with the ball and started running around a little bit and played like a rookie. And then I thought, you know, there was a huge play in the game that no one really even talked about after the game, you know, a 35-yard completion down the middle where Stephen Hill is getting tackled and the ball ends up getting kicked out of his hand by Tlaib for a fumble. I thought the key interception in the fourth quarter, you know, Smith threw three of them, was Santonio Holmes trailing, you know, across the field toward the sideline with a step and a half in the clear, and the throw comes to the back shoulder for some reason, ends up getting deflected by Arrington and picked off by Tlaib. To me, the defense, bottom line, they were able to hold the Jets to 10 points. I don't think they played that great. And I am still waiting, and I won't find the answer out today either. I'll need to see, you know, Atlanta next week, a couple of weeks, New Orleans, further on down the line, Denver. There's some good offensive teams they're going to be facing. I want to see what they do against those teams before I, you know, sort of anoint them as a championship-caliber unit.
Emails coming in at webradio@patriots.com. Bob in Naples writes, do you think the Pats will blitz much today or protect their lanes, relying on a rush up the middle to force Freeman out of the pocket? Martin doesn't normally run up the middle either, so protecting lanes is critical.
We the last time we've seen them against Tampa, they've gone after him. I don't know if that really matters because it's obviously preseason action, but this is what's gotten everybody so excited the last, you know, this year and 2 years, 3 years ago, whatever it was. And so I wouldn't be surprised. Also, we saw last week them getting a little more creative, bumping Chandler Jones inside, running some twists and games inside. I'm all for it. I'd like to see it. Go get him.
I'd like to see them go after him, too. And I wonder if this is just an offensive line that they feel like they can beat. You know, and maybe it's as simple as that. But they manhandled the offensive line in that preseason game here in Foxborough. I think it was the second game, week two of the preseason. Listen, Andy's right. We've been sort of deceived by, you know, the heavy pressure that they put in the summer. I'd like to see a little bit more to get after the passer. But at the same time, remember, you know, like, I don't think you can fool around too much in the secondary. I think you have to make sure you keep Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams in front of you.
855-PATS-500 is the telephone number if you want to jump on board. Send your emails at webradio@patriots.com. Make sure you're using the hashtag PPGS on Twitter today. Let's go back to the phones. James is in Australia, and he's up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hi, James.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, James.
Good day, mate.
Yeah, well, better than your Irish attempt, Andy. So,
and much better than my Brazilian.
Just have a couple of quick questions about the receivers today. What do you think about trading for Doug Baldwin from Seattle?
I like him more than the two guys from Cleveland, but is he available? Is he on the block?
I don't know if he's on the block, but he seems to be a fair way down the depth chart. And I think
he made a couple of big plays in their first game.
And haven't they been trying to collect receivers? Not
yeah, with losing Harvin, and you know Rice is sort of always kind of iffy, even though he played, he was able to stay healthy last year. But yeah, I like James. I like Doug Baldwin. I think he'd be a decent complimentary receiver.
Well, if we're going to go for the stingy Jag free agent route, what do you think about Jabbar Gaffney? Because at least he seems like he can run instead of branch. So,
yeah. I haven't seen that. I know a lot of other people seem to think that he was much better than branch
if
last
I had
summer.
To pick one,
it.
It would be Gaffney. I think there, he's the only guy of the four that everybody brings up. Branch, Lloyd, Stallworth, Gaffney. He is the only one I'd even consider, and I don't think he offers very much. I don't think he's very good. But he's the only one to me that has a sniff of a chance of still making a contribution on an NFL football field.
And have you heard anything about Stallworth, or is he just gone?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Dante Stallworth has done nothing for like 6 years. I mean,
he caught a touchdown pass.
I know. He caught one touchdown pass, but he was in jail. He caught no passes. He was out of jail. He was coming back. He has done nothing in the longest time. I think he's just
got into a hot air balloon accident.
I mean, he's had a very tumultuous life. But in terms of actually contributing on a football field, he hasn't done it in a long time.
Pratt's in Maryland. Pratt, you're up next.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hey, first of all, I'm happy about the Rob Ninkovich extension. I think he's really developed into the unsung hero on defense, and I'm really glad that they're keeping him around. Him and Jones could be a great pass rush duo for years to come.
Yeah, he, to me, is the perfect secondary guy. If Jones goes to where he needs to be, I think he's a nice guy. You know, he's proven to me. I had doubts about him being big enough to play that left defensive end spot. I think he's pretty much answered those things. He didn't get worn down, I didn't feel like. And to me, as a secondary guy, you can do a lot worse than Rob Ninkovich.
Yeah, absolutely. And one more point about Gronk being inactive. I had a thought going into this game, you know, considering he's been in practice and pretty much, you know, you would say if this was a playoff game, he'd be playing. Now, considering this isn't a playoff game, it's at home against Tampa Bay, I realize it's not an opponent that, you know, really, really instills a lot of fear in you as opposed to next week where you're really going to need him. But considering he hasn't really played in a real game yet, don't you think it would have been a little bit smart maybe to put him in for a half perhaps or a quarter today, knock some rust off, and have him come into the game next week when you're going to be playing a much, much harder team on the road? But you're going to need him to be himself, you know, as much of himself as possible. And right now, you know, putting him in next week fresh, I think he's going to be really rusty. He may be a little off.
But isn't it all about health? I mean, yeah. Isn't that what we're doing?
I think if he could have done that today, I think
the fact that, you know, rushing him back is also a big risk.
Yeah, I think if he could have done what you're saying, I think they would have done that today. I do agree with you. It would have been better to knock some rust off. But I am not necessarily buying that he could have played today. Now, that's not the same thing as saying, you know, if it were a playoff game or a Super Bowl, that's a different level of desperation where you don't have the rest of the season to worry about.
Right.
It's win or go home. You know, they're also, I think if he were healthy enough that they didn't think it was a risk, he would have played today.
The number for you is 855-PATS-500 if you want to.
Awkward silence there.
I thought Andy had something. It looked like he was scouring Twitter over there.
Maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Did you have something there?
Just think with the Gronk stuff.
It looked like he was ready to say something.
I think it's easy to sit there and say, well,
misinterpreted
the body language.
And with that, you know what? We're going to pick up that point.
All right. I'm going to stop trying.
Because coming up next,
I'm going to eat.
We go behind enemy lines. We'll be joined by Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune, and we'll continue with your calls and your emails here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Don't go anywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a Triple Play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots take on the Buccaneers this afternoon. And we go behind enemy lines today with Roy Cummings from the Tampa Tribune. Roy, thanks for taking a couple minutes with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Glad to do it, guys.
There is mounting evidence that players on the Buccaneers have had problems with head coach Greg Schiano. What is the state of the Bucs right now?
Well, they're 0-2, and I don't think there's mounting evidence of anything, to be honest with you. I think there's mounting truth to really suggest differently. You know, I mean, I don't think, no different than any team. They had some issues in training camp. They had a meeting. Some of the players said, we don't like this, we don't like that. Can we get a change? The coach listened. I think he made some adjustments, some he didn't make. But other than that, the other stuff is really just a bunch of noise. So somebody came out with a horribly inaccurate, erroneous, irresponsible report saying that Darrell Revis was unhappy with the way the defense was being played, was unhappy with the discipline. Darrell Revis said there's absolutely no truth to that. You might remember there was no quotes in that. It was just someone saying a source. And then similarly, someone came out with a column and basically didn't do a very good job of stating that his opinion was that he thinks at some point this year maybe Josh Freeman will ask for a trade. tried to, I'm not going to say tried, but a lot of people jumped to the conclusion that that was a suggestion that Freeman had already asked for a trade and that the two parties wanted to separate, and that's not true at all. I talked to people inside Josh Green's camp. I talked to Josh. Certainly there was no suggestion made of a trade in Josh Freeman's camp, and the Buccaneers have no interest in moving him at this point. At the end of the season might be a little bit different story, but nothing going on there now. So despite all the mounting evidence, I think what you have is an 0-2 football team that just can't seem to get out of its own way.
How about the report today from NFL Network that players in that locker room are questioning Greg Schiano's credentials? Do you think that's happening?
I believe that's probably true. A coach coming from Rutgers who didn't win a whole lot there, a lot of veterans in the room. He's got a tough approach. I'm sure there are questions, but you know what? With all due respect, I'm sure you got a whole lot of questions about your boss, and you wonder what he does sometimes. And I know I got questions about mine, and
I do.
They state them privately, and so guess what? That's no different. I'm sure there's people, although maybe not as much here in New England with Belichick and his coaching record, but I'm sure there's players in every locker room in every city in the NFL who have questions about what their coaches are doing. Sometimes, not always. It's not always a peaceful, easy feeling in those locker rooms. So I think that's part of the deal. It just goes with it. The problem comes if the players stop playing for you. We haven't seen any indication that these guys have stopped playing for Coach Schiano. When you see that, then you've got issues.
Roy, you obviously shot down the idea that Darrelle Revis isn't happy with the defense, but, you know, what are we going to see from Revis today? Because Patriots fans obviously remember when they saw him with the Jets, it was matching up against a receiver. You know, Randy Moss might be an option. How are the Bucs defensively and with Revis going to treat this Patriots passing game, which really right now is simply Julian Edelman and nobody else?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm anxious to see it myself. You know, I mean, my guess, I mean, if I'm coaching, and there's a reason I'm not, and maybe this is it, I'm putting Darrelle Revis on Julian Edelman and saying, all right, force Tom Brady to go to the young receivers who've all, you know, proven that they're having trouble adjusting, and force them to try to win that way. The Bucs may see it differently. They may try to take away some of those young receivers. Maybe they find someone, believe someone's maybe even more talented than Edelman out of that young group, and decide to put him on that player. So, or maybe they play a lot of zone today. Maybe they just decide to, you know, let him catch the ball and just keep it in front of you. It's a good question. And I don't think we're going to get our answers maybe until well into the game. I'm not sure we'll get it even in the first quarter, because maybe there's big adjustments after that. So it's a great question. I just don't know what the answer is. We've got to wait on that one, I think.
Roy, you mentioned that there was no evidence that, you know, the team had let up or quit at all on Coach Schiano. Do you think that might potentially be a problem? You know, if the Patriots, for example, were to get a lead today, maybe early, is this team teetering, or do you think they're locked in?
I do think they're locked in. I don't think they're teetering, because and the reason I say they're not teetering is because they're 3 points and really one or two plays away from
absolutely
being 2-0. I mean, you look at what they've done. They've gone into the last 34 seconds in New York and the last minute six against the Saints last week with a lead in a position to win. They were even in a position to expand the lead a week ago against the Saints, just didn't get the field goal. There's questions about what's going on. There's questions about the play calling. Is it too conservative down the stretch? You know, it's one thing to run the ball and try to take time off the clock, but you got to make that first down. And really what they are is they're two first downs, two plays away from being 2-0. And if that's the case, well, we're probably not hearing a lot of this noise, and everybody's feeling pretty good about the Bucs, and the storyline is completely different. It's like, you know, who are these guys? But they've got, you know, they're beating themselves, and that's the problem. And I don't think that comes from coaching. Now, granted, there's been a lack of discipline on the field with the way that the hits have been made on the defensive side. Some of the pre-snap penalties, they're second in the league with 10 of those. That's a problem, and that leads to discipline, and that is a coaching thing. But I don't think those are the results of players tuning out the coach. I don't think that's an indication that this team's on the brink of a collapse. And now, if you go to 0-3, you got a bunch of veterans here who are planning on going to the playoffs this year, and it's one of the reasons people like Deshaun Goldson and Vincent Jackson and Carl Nix came to this squad, is because they thought this team was on the rise. You go to 0-3 and you don't look good doing it, well, you know, that creates problems, and it's a pretty big mountain to climb, so we'll have to see what happens afterwards. But that's where the test of the veteran leadership and the veteran savvy that this team has really comes into play. We've got to see what these guys are really like, inside that locker room. Can they band together and find a way to play a winning brand of football for a change?
Roy, I know it's just the preseason, and I'm not sure what to make of it, but the last two times the Patriots and Bucks got together, the Patriots were pretty aggressive on defense, tried to pressure Josh Freeman, and had some success getting after him. Do you think that's a matchup thing they see in terms of that offensive line, and is that offensive line a good pass-protecting offensive line, in your opinion?
It has been. I think it is. I think it is a good group. I mean, you've got three Pro Bowlers on there, so it shouldn't be too bad. And they've actually done a good job so far this year of protecting Josh Freeman. If you look at the numbers from some of the stats, sites out there, Pro Football Focus and that kind of thing, they're doing a very good job so far protecting the passer. But Bill Belichick's a different kind of coach. I mean, I think he's the best coach in the league, and I think he finds a way to exploit matchups and even strengths. And, as you said, there's no doubt that the Patriots have certainly found a way to get to Josh Freeman and harass him in an effective manner. So I think the Bucs are going to have to be prepared for that. They're going to probably have to adjust something along the way here to avoid that. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if you see Josh Freeman under a lot of pressure today.
Would it surprise you to see Mike Glennon at all in this game today?
Yeah, if that happens, then you might have a mutiny. I mean, if you still think he got a shot, this rookie quarterback is nowhere near being ready to run a football team. If he's got to do it, you really have to scale back the offense and manage things. The only way he gets in is if Josh Freeman I think Josh Freeman could throw five interceptions and not get picked off, pulled out of this game. I mean, he's the best chance this team has to win. There's no question about it. And his play has not been as bad as the numbers indicate. The numbers are not good. But he's had an awful lot of drop passes. He had a touchdown and a first down wiped out last week because of the legal formation penalties. He had a couple of balls that were completed that the receiver didn't get his feet inbound. They didn't make the sticks. So it's a lot of little things that are keeping this team from moving the chains and ultimately winning. They've got to correct those things, but a lot of those things are not on Josh Freeman. Some of them are. Josh hasn't played exceptionally well, but he hasn't played as bad as the numbers indicate either.
You obviously cleared up the national perception that there's a mutiny going on in Tampa. What is the local perception, I would say, with the fan base and in the organization of these early stages of the Greg Schiano era? Is he in trouble in that area or with anybody with the team?
I don't think he is. They brought Greg Schiano in here last year, primarily last year, to change the culture inside the building, provide more structure, provide more discipline. He did that in the first year, and he won seven games, almost doubled what they did the previous year. So that was a good step. The step he was supposed to take this year is he was supposed to start winning. There was supposed to be a competitive, playoff-contending football team. That's why you go out and make a trade for Darrelle Revis. That's why you bring in Deshaun Goldston. They like everybody, they were hit by some injuries, and that hasn't all worked out the way they wanted it to. But, again, you expect a disciplinarian to have a disciplined football team on the field, and the penalties are a concern, and it's a sign that maybe the control guy that he is, he doesn't have quite the control that he should have on this team. So Greg Schiano's not out of the woods here. He's got to prove that he can put a winning product on the field, and he's got to prove that he can do it for 60 minutes. Being able to do it for 59 minutes and 34 seconds is not good enough. Doing it for 59 minutes as he did last week, not good enough. You got to do it for 60 minutes. And if he can't do that, and this $250 million that the Glazer family has put into this team this year doesn't start to present some victories, he's going to be under the microscope even more. I'm sure the veteran players aren't questioning some of his tactics. It's a different approach than a lot of them have had before. Than what they're used to. It's not an easy approach. He's got them in pads as often as he possibly can. But so does Mike Tomlin with the Steelers. So there's a way to win football games in this league, and one of the problems I think the Bucs are having is that Greg Schiano is still figuring that out. And when he figures that out, I think they're going to be just fine. But he's got to figure out soon before people start questioning his authority and everything else as well.
Roy, do you have a prediction for today's game, and how do you think it goes?
I'll tell you what, I'm picking the Patriots to win just because I think at home, the more savvy team, the team with less problems to deal with despite the issues they've got on the offensive side of the ball with their receiving core. I still think they're the better team right now. I think the Bucs are still trying to find themselves. And I think that'll end up in a Patriots victory. It's something along the lines of 28-13. The Bucs aren't quite there yet, I don't think. But at the same time, I think the Bucs can give them a good game.
Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune going behind enemy lines today on Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Roy, appreciate your time and your insight.
Glad to do it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Roy.
Take care. Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune. Well, Roy is quick.
Bitch slapping you all over the
quickly
place.
Quickly became, there is
quickly
no
became
evidence.
My favorite out-of-town reporter ever.
Oh, he kicked
like
your
him.
Ass.
Oh, man.
Twice.
There's not mounting evidence. Roy says no evidence. Erroneous report.
Well, he used air quotes too a couple times. Oh, I could feel it.
What I really liked,
mounting evidence.
Yes. Mounting evidence.
What I really liked, and if he had joined us in studio the way our last
fought.
Couple, well, I would have,
you know,
sort of.
Yeah,
I said, first of all, I would have interrupted him. I said, first of all, you're becoming our favorite because this is what we do here on the show. Is yeah. We like to take all the other guys that cover the Patriots and we like to rip them. So he had check marks going everywhere. I mean, there was nobody that was left unscathed. It was an erroneous, ridiculous, irresponsible report. One of them was.
Now,
and the
are
other
those
one,
the phrases that Schiano
no
actually
quotes,
asked
no
him
quotes,
to use?
No quotes, by the way.
Yeah. Are those the phrases that Schiano actually asked him to use when he said, you need to defend me?
Yeah, he sounds like he's in the Schiano
that was a little. That was a little Boston-like, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the Boston media rallies around their own. We can make fun of us, but you can't make fun of us.
You would expect a...
Come after me!
I'm a man.
I'm a man.
Patriots reporter.
Evidently with a lot of disposable income.
Paying players.
A Patriots reporter to do that on a show in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous, you know?
Irresponsible.
Pete Shepard-esque.
Unbelievable. Let's continue with the phone calls, though, at 855-PATS-500.
And then, by the way, after, you know, the vehement support, Patriots 28-13.
Yeah, that's great. Let's talk to the most interesting Pats fan in the world.
I was going to say, sunshine.com exists in Tampa, man. That was awesome. But, Vin is still the best caller we've ever had. That's got to be Vin.
Yeah, he was good. I liked how he bitch-slapped Bertrand around a little bit. Kicked his ass.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. I think
good.
Yeah, I think Beatle, you're settling very well, and it definitely is turning into your show, much to Andy's charter.
And I do need to let listeners know, you know, a lot of times Mark sets up the interview, asks a question, and then sort of Paul and I take over. But he put the brakes on. He's like,
no,
no,
no.
I got to follow up here.
I got the Heisman. I got the Heisman halfway through Roy's first answer. I do time for a follow up here. It was clear.
No, I was just waiting for you guys just to not say anything. It's just that Beatle to totally hand the interview on his own. Just a minute run out.
Fight.
No, that was awesome. I think. And a quick aside, Paul, you really think recording anything Andy says and playing it back to him is going to make any difference?
That's a great point. That's a terrific point.
Literally, he'll listen to the quote and go, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about, sitting on his breath. I think what worries me is this is a close game. I think our young receivers need a bit of a blowout or at least a lead. It's going to worry me if it's a tight game and we need to find them to make some key plays. I'm kind of hoping we get a couple of turnovers, we win the turnover battle, we get a nice 2-score lead, and then, you know, we can gently bring on the receivers. I'm just a bit worried about another close game and putting pressure on the receivers and just having another, you know, disappointing thing. I think, you know, hearing Brady bitch and then hearing, you know, Andy bitch about Brady and then me bitching about Andy bitching about Brady.
Just, a lot of bitching going on.
A lot of bitching going on there.
Yeah, I think we just need to quiet them down. So, hopefully, you know, the defense will come out and play. They'll, you know, get us a few turnovers. We'll put some pressure on. And a nice, easy game I'm looking for the receivers, just to sort of bring them back in gently.
I agree. I think that it's going to be interesting, too, to watch Brady react to that. I mean, because you'd love to see, wouldn't you, you know, Brady doing the hip bump or something after a Dobson touchdown? Or now, does he just walk off? You know, well, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm not going to go crazy because that's what you're supposed to do. Kind of how he handles it if they did make some plays and kind of progress and see how
I think
he would
go crazy.
I hope so.
But the
I want to see a Dan Graham headbutt.
Yeah,
I want
the over-the-top enthusiasm, like
that's
when Ocho
like
caught that first pass, you know, in week 18.
I'd like to see that.
You know. That's what I'm looking for.
If there's a drop, I want to see a drop when we're 14 points ahead, not when we're 3 points down or 3 points ahead.
Right.
I think that's the key for us. I think if we, you know, because I think he'll react differently depending on where the game is and stuff like that. And, you know, after you've caught a couple of touchdowns is going to be better than a drop after you've done nothing. So I'm just looking for, I think the first quarter is going to be key. You know, if it's 3-0 or 0-0 after the first quarter, I think I'll be a little bit worried. But, again, we'll see.
All right, James.
All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, take care.
That's it. Bye.
It's 0-0 or nothing-nothing.
Yeah, well.
It's not nil-nil.
Internationally, it's nil-nil. We have some emails
suck
coming
it, Pettigrew.
Webradio@patriots.com. Simon writes in from the UK. Hey, guys, do you think Boyce will be featured more today? I don't think Brady can just look at Edelman, Tompkins, and Dobson with this Tampa D. What do you think about Boyce? We saw him for, what, two snaps last week against the Jets? He barely played in that game.
Yeah, I didn't see him. I never noticed.
Yeah, I didn't see him. The game book didn't have him in there. I know some of the other reporters did see them in him in there. I think it's a waste. I think it's a wasted opportunity. I think he's got game-changing speed, and I think he should be given opportunities just like the other two are. If he fails to do anything with them, then okay. You're back to square one, and you figure out
Tex Branch.
You figure out how you're going to go about it. But to me, you had several opportunities where you got receivers behind defenders last week against New York, and the fact that they didn't try to get him behind defenders even once, to me, was curious.
Have some other emails coming in, webradio@patriots.com. VIP strippers, one of Andy's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
He sent us a little tidbit on Gordon. We were talking about earlier Cleveland Josh. Browns making some of their guys available, including Josh Gordon and Greg Little. This tidbit on Gordon, he's one misstep away from having a one-year suspension in the league.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Something
oh, yeah.
else to consider.
Well, that's why Joe Banner wants him out of town at all costs. He doesn't want to sign off on this guy.
And another part of that is Gordon, according to some analysts, could be the best receiver in the league if he just cared enough to give it his all. And is that really the type of player you want to bring in?
Is this the man?
And work with? I don't know.
Really work with? We got to work with receivers team? Now? I didn't know
that. Got to work with that guy? Andy is very hot on Tom Brady today.
I'm just disappointed.
Very hot on the reports. Again, if you're just joining
us. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
Reports out there from Mike Silver and Ian Rappaport of NFL Network that Tom Brady has been texting Brandon Lloyd as well as Deion Branch trying
it's
to
like
gauge
he's,
their
he's
interest.
Cheating on Giselle. He's right? Like, he's texting
behind
her back.
Behind Bill's back.
He's texting with Brandon Lloyd.
He's texting those guys. So that's out there today. Other news, Rob Ninkovich with a 3-year contract extension.
Other news?
There's been some news this morning.
3 years, a lot of news. More than $15 million, $8.5 guaranteed, according to various reports.
Rob Gronkowski and Danny
Amendola. I'm very excited
Amendola.
About that. Out. Sounds like a good top to the notebook for Eric.
Or, as Andy just said, out. Rob Gronkowski and Danny Amendola out. Leon Washington out today as well, by the way.
Vaughn Miller's, you know, urine collector. That's a mess. Vaughn Miller, man, he's spiraling out of control in a hurry.
Alden Smith not too far behind him.
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah, actually,
he did not have marijuana. It was just prescription drugs, unidentified drugs.
I had heard of one report.
This that's better.
On Alden Smith, one of the reports this morning was that when he apparently crashed his car the other night, he was still had his foot on the accelerator. that he had crashed his car into a tree. And the wheels were still spinning because his foot was still on the accelerator when people came out of their homes to see the crash car, and there he was passed out at the wheel with the wheels still spinning.
That sounds good.
And then the police arrived, and the wheels were still spinning because, let's be honest, you come out of your house, Paul, are you going to get in there and, like, try
no.
and pull that guy? No.
Oh, hell no.
You're just going to let him.
Saturday night at UMass Beetle.
Yeah, well, you know. Alden Smith, he's going to play today, though. That's the word. He'll play today for the 49ers. Here's an email.
Good thing we have that strict off-field player conduct policy.
Well, I think he's going to lose some time to this.
No, I know.
Just not going to be today.
Here's another email.
I mean, he was innocent, clearly.
From Justin in Rochester, talking about the wide receivers. Makes me think about that decision to trade that first-round pick instead of drafting Patterson, Cordarrelle Patterson, like they should have. He was the rookie of the week last week. Bill has put the Pats in this position.
Oh, Bill the GM talk.
Well, this gets back
I actually, I didn't love him. I didn't love Cordarrelle Patterson. I liked Hopkins, and I know I'm not getting lost in him. It's two games. These guys have played two games. Let's not.
At which point the quarterback is ready to cast them aside and find somebody who's a veteran.
All right, can you just put your Tom Brady hatred aside
that
for about 10
you.
Minutes?
It's not Tom Brady hatred. I like Tom Brady. I think he's a very talented guy. But everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has insecurities. Everybody has negative
what
aspects.
What bothers me more than the texting doesn't bother me anywhere near as much as you. Yeah. What bothers me is I think you're right if they actually brought one of those guys back. He would force feed the ball to that guy. If Brandon Lloyd came back, no one else would ever get a ball thrown to him except for Gronk when he comes back. And that, to me, is the problem.
Wow, things have really turned around out there, huh?
Mike Reese tweets that Julian Edelman battling brightness and sun in warm-ups, possibly something to watch in the game.
I was just about to say, we need to get a window in this studio.
It's freaking raining when we got here.
We've got a window in the studio, but it just goes to another windowless room.
It gets to see Kevin.
Yeah, we had no idea. It's apparently sunny outside. We can't offer you that.
But rain will not be an issue, but sun might be.
Yeah, what else you got over there in that poll center anyway? He's just sitting there looking pretty.
We got another poll up.
Let's get it. What do we got, Darren?
All right. Going on to the other side of the sidelines, which Buccaneers player concerns you the most today? The choices are Doug Martin, Josh Freeman, Vincent Jackson, Revis, or Adrian Claypool.
And the answer is Vincent Jackson.
Oh, I agree. Yes,
it is. Damn. It's unanimous.
Twice
65%.
Twice today we've been Jackson. Unanimous.
I mean, yeah, it was pretty unanimous.
I mean, I guess the next one you could probably go with is Revis taking away Edelman, and there's no other options.
I would agree with that too.
That's
not the only reason. Just Revis, you know, turning in two big plays that turned the tide in the game.
Yeah. Sure.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
I haven't seen much from him
here on Patriots.com. 855-PATS-500 is the telephone number. 855-PATS-500. Web radio at Patriots.com. Make sure you're using the hashtag PPGS. When you send in the emails today, we're also asking you what you're doing to get ready. This is the first, as Paul said, 1 o'clock game. This is the routine now. If you're tailgating, getting ready for today's game, you want to send us photos of yourself. If you're an attractive woman, Andy would really like that if you could send those photos
in. Early in the year, these warm 1 o'clock games, especially now that the skies are brightening up, you may need to take off that jacket you are wearing.
Maybe you're sunbathing
out
there.
So you may be eating, and we like that. We like hot women that eat. I mean, we really like hot women that eat. So if you're a hot woman that's eating, send in a photo.
Send that in. You know what we get a lot of, I've noticed, in my short time here?
Ugly women who eat?
No. We get a lot of animal photos.
Yes, people like to dress their
dogs
up.
We got one of those today already, and I want to thank Claudia for sending that in. Sending in a photo of her dog, Spanky. Spanky the dog is wearing a Patriots uniform today.
That's also abuse. your dog Spanky.
Spanky is getting ready for things. Yep. Spanky's getting ready for the Pats-Bucks game today. But if you're out there, you're tailgating, and you're listening, give us a call, 855-PATS-500. Send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Make sure you send in those photos. You want to get on the polls? Go to the Patriots Facebook page, facebook.com/New England Patriots.
Adam Schefter with a very interesting tweet.
Go ahead.
You know, on that Alden Smith topic that we were just discussing. Yeah. As Mort Report reported, which is kind of funny, a consensus reached that Alden Smith needs treatment for his substance abuse programs after today's game. I'm sorry, substance abuse problems, not programs. So he's going to a substance abuse center maybe next week. But
we'll deal with that after
we got the Colts today. We got to get that W first.
Here's a funny joke for you, Andy, coming in at webradio@patriots.com. You ready for this? How much do pirates pay for earrings?
Oh, I know the answer.
What?
I'm going to keep it to myself.
A buccaneer.
A buccaneer.
That's Anthony from Sarasota sending that one in today. Thanks
And
for
it's
that.
Appropriate. Playing the Buccaneers.
Very funny joke.
Every
Patriots,
other week we would just say that's stupid. But
Buccaneers. It happens today at Gillette Stadium. And as we roll on here on the Dunkin' Donuts
Before
Patriots
you take a break, Beetle,
social,
Patriots are wearing blue.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
We'll get all those critical updates, such as the Patriots wearing blue, when
and
we
game
talk
pants,
to
too.
Eric Scalavino.
I mean, I'm at the mercy of the Twitter.
We got to go to break. This
we don't have
derailed.
Any windows in here.
This thing is getting derailed. Eric Scalavino, when we go inside the press box, and coming up next is the Sunday six-pack.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami,
Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
It's time for the Sunday six-pack. How did we do last week, Kev? Not good.
It was pretty bloody, actually.
Really? Paul's doing well, though.
Yeah, Paul went 4-2 last week.
So why is it that it was a bloodbath and we're not doing well? I don't check these things.
So
Andy and I didn't do well.
So what's that, 9-3 now for me?
Yeah, hang on. I'll get to that.
Jesus, pipe down.
Andy, respectable. Like bloodbath. Respectable 3-3. Mark was the real bloodbath. 1-5. So Paul is 9-3 on the year. Andy 5-7. Mark in the basement 4-8.
Wow.
I'm not losing to that guy anymore.
It's only one pick difference. Brutal. I can make it back this week. All right, you let's know. Get to the Sunday
season. And Usain Bolt was only like 0.01 ahead of the next guy. It's still a win.
What's my magic number?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, the first game Beetle has up.
What are you? What's your record?
Obnoxious. There's no way to go through life.
What's your record?
1 o'clock game
five.
Today. Patriots.
Five
and something. Whatever.
5-7.
Up. Patriots, Buccaneers.
2 weeks it took me to get a 4-game lead.
Shut their mics off. That's what we need to do. You shut those off. Thank
you. Don't listen to them.
Patriots and Buccaneers. The first game we pick. What do we got?
New England placed.
New England by 7.
Shouldn't we end
seven?
With the
it's down to 7.
Andy's got another complaint. Next week we reverse this and put the Patriots.
We
last.
Lead off with the game you care most about.
I'm well, taking.
That's what Fred does. So.
I'm taking the Patriots.
I am taking the Patriots.
It's down to 7, huh?
Oh Jesus! Nobody takes.
I'm going to stick with the Bucks. I think it's. I think it stays close. But not now I believe it'll be a push.
I made a game out of it. I mean, picked up a game.
I think it's going to be a tie.
Staying within the division, 4 o'clock game, Atlanta at Miami.
Miami by 2.
I want to take the Falcons in this one, the beat-up Falcons. I'm a little concerned about this pick because I don't think it's easy in that first game after you lose so many players. They lost anywhere between 3 and 5 starters last week, depending on how you view, how you view guys like Ewing and Bierman, and they lost a lot of personnel. But I think they find a way to get this. I'm not necessarily buying the Miami Dolphins just yet.
I say no. I take Miami.
I say I just picked up another game on you because I'm with Paul. I'm not buying the Dolphins just yet, and I still think Atlanta has enough weapons on offense to outscore.
No weapons.
That's how I get back in with the Miami game. 425, Buffalo at the New York Jets.
Jets by 2. Well, this is a bad game.
It's my tried and true theory is two really bad teams. You take the home team, I'll take the Jets.
My tried and true theory that I'm just going to start right now is that when I remember two really ugly football games, I'll take the team in the uglier game against in the less ugly game against the Patriots, I'll take the Bills.
I'll take the Bills as well. Another 1 o'clock start.
You see why I build leads.
In Baltimore.
You're awesome.
Ravens hosting Houston.
Houston by 2.5.
I'm going to take Houston.
I'm going to take Houston. I'm a little concerned with what's going on with the Ravens.
I think both of these teams are struggling right now, but they are both good football teams, just not playing very well. I will go with the home Ravens, and I'll grab that 2.5 at home any day of the week.
420.
Twice on Sunday.
No, I'm not doubling up. It is Sunday. I'm not doubling.
Indianapolis at San Francisco.
49ers by 10.5.
Ooh. Alden Smith will play.
And then immediately go to Betty Ford.
To 10.5 for Indy, huh?
I think San Francisco blows them the F out.
Indy coming off a loss. Can always
San
go
Francisco
with the rebound,
coming off a loss.
But San Francisco's at home. I'll take San Fran to cover.
San Francisco at home. I'm not a Colts believer just yet. I like the trade. It might pay long-term dividends, but right now I just don't think the Colts have enough offensively against that defense.
Sixth and final game in the Sunday six-pack.
Not the Patriots. We led with that one.
A 1 o'clock game in Cincinnati. Green Bay taking on the Bengals.
A road favorite. 2.5.
2.5. I'm going to take Green Bay.
I am going to take Green Bay, too, because I believe offense beats defense.
I'm going to take Green Bay.
And there you have it, our Sunday six-pack.
I just picked up a bunch of games on everybody.
I bet my record is going to be better next week than what it
can't
was
be much
past
worse.
Week. I don't think I'm going to go 1-5.
I mean, if we're going to go by that theory, then I'd have to think that mine's going to be worse next week because I can't possibly sustain the level that I opened the season at.
We'll get to Eric Scalavino in the press box. We'll get the
let me know. I'll stop my way up to the press box when that happens.
We'll have him on board here in just a couple of minutes. But before we do, we'll continue with your calls and emails on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. John is in L.A. today. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. What do you got?
I'm wondering if – I'm sorry if you've talked about it already, but Brady – that story coming out about Brady contacting Branch and Brandon Lloyd, that's idiotic. I don't even think it's idiotic necessarily to sort of check in. But to not be discreet enough to keep that completely hush-hush is ridiculous.
I agree. I mean, I don't think I need to revisit my rant from earlier, but I don't care for it on so many levels. And I know a lot of people on Twitter are questioning the veracity of the report based on, has rep sheet ever had a source? And Mike Silver's lot.
Yeah, Mike Silver's the one that had
it. Mike Silver is close to Brady. He's close to that area of the country. I'm going to take it for what it's worth, and I don't have any reason to believe it's, you know, totally made up.
And the element of keeping that under your hat is interesting.
What was that?
What's that, John?
Sorry, John.
Do we think he got it from Brady? Like, I was thinking Brady was just like didn't tell them to keep quiet about it enough. If it actually came from Brady, because you're right, Silver has a pretty long-standing relationship with Brady. That's even worse. That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
as bad as the attitude last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good on any level, but if Brady is just openly saying that he's contacting these guys, I agree, that's a little worse.
Yeah, and it feels that way with Silver being one of the guys on
know.
That report.
We don't know his relationship with Branch. He's close with a lot of players, and through Brady, maybe he has a good relationship through Branch. Lloyd played for the Niners, is a Hollywood guy. Silver seems to fancy himself sort of a Hollywood guy. I mean, I don't know exactly where his sources
lie. But I think,
lie.
John, you know, I didn't really think of it in those terms, but publicly it doesn't look good for your guys. You know, it doesn't look good for Tompkins, Dobson, and Boyce.
Like, what happens,
what are they thinking
what happens
right
when
now?
Those guys read this report?
I didn't even really think about it that way.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a good
They're
element
cutting
of
those
it.
Guys off.
Here's an email coming in from Carl. He writes, I'm sorry, Andy, but you're not in the locker room. You don't know if Tom is saying, let's go to work, and the wide receivers aren't putting their best effort in. And this is where the email just
so
goes
Tom's just a liar.
Off track
no, no,
here.
But do you understand where I'm? This is and I'm not. This is not an attempt to beat up on the email here, but it never like there's never any element of this
he's
that's
beyond,
ever Brady's fault.
Right, he's beyond criticism.
And that's not a rare opinion.
Here's what he also writes: Tompkins was arrested a number of times and was on several college teams. I'm sorry, but this doesn't sound like a guy that gets it. To these young guys, they have their entire careers to improve. Tom doesn't. Tom needs them now, and if they're not going to work for it, bring in the vets.
All I can do is take them all at their word, Belichick, Brady, everybody, and all they've done from day one is rave about these young guys. I know one thing. They like to work. They're here to work. They're good workers. They're doing the work. We've been beat over the head with that. If they're just flat out lying to me, okay, then I'm sorry. Yes, I'm wrong. They're not working, and you have reason, but do you think that would have shown itself in some way before this? Maybe they wouldn't have handed over such responsibility to Kenbrell Tompkins if he was just a guy who doesn't work and has all these problems and Dobson and Boyce wouldn't be in role. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just not buying that it's all on the rookie receivers. I'm not.
Speaking of all the rookie receivers and the young receiving core in general, with Rob Gronkowski out again today, will we see a better showing from Zach Sudfeld in this game?
Can't be much worse than the little we saw from him on opening day when he fell down and caused an interception.
But the tight end position on this team has basically become non-existent.
But he's actually a receiver. The other guys aren't, probably never will be, haven't been receivers. He is, his MO is a pass-catching tight end. So he's just a rookie, an undrafted rookie. We don't know how hard he works. I mean, they tell us he works hard, but I know fans want to assume he's not working hard, and that's why Brady's moving on to other people. But, you know, he's a guy that could catch passes. Will he?
I don't know.
I mean, he's never done it in the NFL, so how do you just, you know, project and assume?
Well, I mean, you saw him in the preseason. You saw him.
He's capable of catching passes. He's capable of getting open to some degree. Not, you know, a super athlete who's going to blow people, but he's got that long, what do they like to call it, the catch. What? He's got the catch radius. And why is everybody laughing? What did I say?
you left out a word. Bye.
Nothing.
Oh.
Blow
yeah.
by people.
Blow by people.
You left out a word in that sentence.
I didn't mean to. Sometimes I mean to make
no,
those
I know.
Little
I know you
jokes.
Didn't mean
that
to.
Time I didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 855-PATS-500 if
Sometimes
you want to
Sometimes the mouth
us.
Goes faster than the brain.
Yeah.
You know, what's
just
that
stop talking.
Make
just,
sure brain
just,
is in gear before
don't
engaging mouth.
Else.
I don't always make sure it's in gear.
Send an email at webradio@patriots.com and visit the Patriots Facebook page, facebook.com/New England Patriots. That's where you find the polls. And we go back to the poll center with Darren Hartwell. What do we got?
All right, final poll of the day. Which Patriots offensive player will have a breakout game today?
Dobson!
Choices. Dobson is a choice. Ridley, Tompkins, Blunt, or the Who Man?
No Sudfeld, huh?
No Sudfeld.
You had the opportunity to edit it. I didn't because you sent it to you twice.
I am going
to
say yeah. It's Dobson.
Dobson's at 43% right now in the lead.
I'm going to say Tompkins.
Booyah!
Tompkins.
Because that's what we said on the web. So.
Second, 27.
Oh, did we?
When we debate these things in other places, we try to stay consistent with our thoughts.
What did Ridley get? What's Ridley getting in the poll?
Ridley got 13.
I'm not necessarily in favor of bringing in Deion Branch.
When it comes,
I'm pretty sure I said that in other places.
When it comes to Deion, excuse me, no, not Deion Branch. When it comes to Stephen Ridley, where's your confidence in him right now?
Pretty high. I think he needs some holes to run through.
Me, not anywhere near as high as him. I think he's an average run-of-the-mill back. I thought a lot more of him. I thought last year this time he was a substantial upgrade over Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. To me, it's Ben Jarvis Green Ellis with a little bit more big playability.
See, I'm kind of with Paul. I thought last year we were seeing.
I thought he was a star
on the verge.
He has
on
no
the
big
verge
playability.
Of being.
Yeah, but I thought he did.
Oh, okay. But I thought this was more of a 2013 question than a. Like, I thought it was in relevance to, like, the fumbles and is he in trouble and that kind of crap.
No, but my confidence level in him is I think he can certainly carry the ball between the tackles and get you, you know, a reasonable amount of yards. But he's not going to impact the game.
Well, I don't know about not impact the game. He's not a playmaker. We've seen long enough,
well,
I think we can say he's not a playmaker. He's not going to break a 70-yard touchdown run in all likelihood. He's had a lot of opportunities where he's never finished.
If they get the lead and they dictate the way the game is played, and they're able to run it a lot in the second half, he could pile up, you know, 130 yards.
So that's all him. The inability of this team to run just when they want to run against a team that might even think they're going to run is Stephen Ridley, or it is the offensive line?
I think it's more Ridley.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that's interesting.
I don't think he's that good.
That's interesting.
And I thought maybe this might be my fault because I may have put Ridley in my head at a higher level of player than he really was.
But that's what we do.
Well, I've also done that with Vereen.
Right. But that's what we do with a lot of people. I mean, and fans do it. All. I mean, how much did we see it this summer? You know, people saying, you know, Aaron Dobson. I don't want to say Randy Moss, but I haven't seen a receiver fight for the ball like
Randy.
Now,
that would be the opposite. I think probably less of him than most other people do. But, I mean, that's one of those things. You know, people say that we're negative, Andy, but those are two guys, those two running backs, you and I have been really, really high on and sort of getting disappointed by. Now, for different reasons, one health and the other performance.
We've been mocked a lot on Shane Vereen, and maybe rightfully so.
I take a lot of crap from Shane Vereen because I compare Shane Vereen to Marshall Faulk. Okay, I get it. Maybe a little hyperbole. I get it.
But who did he look like on opening day?
But I think that he has those kinds of skills. I think as a running back receiving the football, he is special.
Last two games we've seen him, no, three games, we'll say, he's looked like Marshall Faulk in at least two of them, the Bills and the Texans, right? Trouble is, it's going to be another eight games till we see him again.
Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline and go inside the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
We go inside the press box, high atop the playing field at Gillette Stadium. That's where Eric Scalavino finds himself at this time. Eric, do you have all the weather details today? Talk about being stuck down here in the studio. When we came in, it was dark, gloomy, and maybe even raining a little bit, and now it's apparently sunny outside. Tell us about that. Eric?
Dark and gloomy.
Eric, you got cut off there at the start. What did you say?
I said the dark and gloominess had nothing to do with the weather on your account. It had to do with the company that you were keeping in the studio down there.
Wah, wah, wah. True on both accounts.
Yes. It's glorious out here right now, Mark. Sunshine. Players are actually shielding their eyes from the sun when they're catching passes or trying to field punts and kickoffs because it's a remarkable turnaround from just maybe 6 hours ago when it was just downpouring rain in this part of the country.
Okay, Eric, so obviously now some of the news of the day is the injuries. It looks like, once again, the offense is going to be without Rob Gronkowski. Well, they are without Rob Gronkowski.
Correct.
And Dan Edelman. What are you seeing in pregame warm-ups? Are we going to see a little maybe Zach Sudfeld today? Is it just going to be Edelman, Tompkins, and Dobson? I mean, anything you're kind of getting from pregame warm-ups here?
Yeah, pregame warm-ups was pretty static. They went with two tight ends, Uman and Sudfeld, on either side of the O-line. Their wide receivers were Edelman and Tompkins, with Ridley in the backfield with Brady. That was pretty much the look, every first-team look was that formation. The backups came in, then it was Dobson on one side, Boyce on the other. Again, with the tight end / H-back factor with Mulligan and James Devlin. with LeGarrette Blount taking Ridley's place in the backfield. So, again, it's just three-game warm-ups, but that was the look we were seeing. Two tight ends, two receivers, a back. And defensively, Kyle Arrington, still getting the first right cornerback rep. We saw last week against the Jets where he started off that way when they were in base defense, but then started to give way to Alphonso Dennard, who's the more natural fit at that outside corner spot. But as far as reps go, first-team reps on defense, it was Tlaib on the left, Arrington on the right.
We're obviously down here and sort of monitoring the hubbub on Twitter, and obviously one of the big stories of the day was reports from NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, Mike Silver, that Tom Brady has reached out via text to both Deion Branch, Brandon Lloyd. Wondering what sort of reaction that has gotten through through the press box with the media.
Yeah, it's surprising, to say the least, because, look, there's hardly – you're hard-pressed to find anyone who doesn't like Deion Branch as a person.
Me included.
Right. But the fact is, his time has come and gone. He's really not a viable option at this point anymore. He may be still a really good buddy of Brady's, and you know he may be maybe sort of a comfort blanket for him. But I just don't think he can do it. And I think that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting from others up here. And the really surprising one is the Lloyd one, because by all accounts he was just not a good fit in this locker room and not really, you know, friendly with anybody on the team. So if that's true, if Brady is reaching out to a guy like him, that just has to tell you how desperate a situation, at least the quarterback thing, the offense is in right now. And I'm a little surprised at that, too, given that we've only played two games, guys. I mean, it's not like we're heading into the playoffs right now with all of these problems. It's two games with no less than four rookies who are on offense and being expected to contribute on a week-to-week basis. It seems like people are panicking far too early for my liking.
And it also sends a curious message to your young receivers when they find out about it and, you know, what the sort of lack of confidence maybe their quarterback has in them.
Right, yeah. At a time when you really need to be building up these guys' confidence, I think you're right, that this kind of thing could have just the opposite impact, and that could manifest itself on the field. You hope not, but these guys are young still and impressionable, and they may be doubting themselves. And that's the last thing you need right now, is for these guys who are already struggling to be doubting themselves when they head out onto that field.
Eric, I know you spend more of your time watching the Patriots in pregame warmups, but just wondering how much you watched two different players for the Bucs. One would be Darrelle Revis, and, you know, he's coming back from an ACL. He's at apparently full go now, but if you noticed anything in his hitch in his get-up or anything of that nature. And the second would be the quarterback situation with Freeman, Glennon, and how that sort of played out.
Right. I'll start with your first one. Revis, to me, and you know, we've seen him plenty of times the last few years when he was with the Jets, and at least in warm-ups, to me, he looks a little bit slower than I've seen him. And obviously that's no surprise to anyone, guy coming off a serious knee injury.
Does he have a brace on?
I didn't look that closely enough. Apologize, but he just didn't. It didn't look as quick and agile as I remember him previously. But, again, that could just be warm-ups, too. A lot of guys don't go all out in warm-ups, especially guys at that level.
So, word.
You know, that's just something to take with maybe a grain of salt. As far as the quarterback situation, I mean, it was still just Freeman taking the first snap with Glennon behind him. I didn't really see anything there that gave me any indication one way or another that a change might be afoot. But if the reports of what's going on in that locker room are true, I think maybe Freeman could be on a short leash today.
Well, it's not what we heard from Roy Cummings. I don't know if you've come across him in the press box. But
Beetle wants to fight Roy Cummings.
Roy Cummings slapped Beetle like you wouldn't believe.
Nothing like that.
Really?
But Roy is not buying into any of the reports about there being any kind of turmoil or there being a short leash on Freeman, as you just said, because he specifically answered that part, saying no matter how bad Freeman is in this game today, he thinks the guy stays in there.
Well, hey,
he could throw five picks and he would still stay in, unless he gets hurt, he would stay in. That's what Roy Cummings. That's what Roy Cummings said.
Yeah.
Okay. And he tends to be wrong, so. So don't worry about
got
that.
A nice little feud going.
No,
here.
Don't worry about that, Eric. He tends to be wrong.
And the host doesn't hold any grudges either. Right?
No, not at all.
Not at all, Eric. One of the things that's gotten a little bit more attention than it probably deserves is kickoff returns on this team.
The mutiny in Tampa.
Yeah. From what you've seen in pregame warmups, is it again LeGarrette Blount?
Well, the first guy out here taking the rep was the rookie Josh Boyce, and
excellent.
That's not altogether surprising to me because he had been one of the first guys out. It was usually him and Slater who were the first ones out doing that. When Blount came out for warm-up, he was joining that group, as was Devin McCourty, Brandon Bolden, guys who've done that before and had that role. But if you want to read into anything, the first guy out here actually taking the reps was Boyd. I would venture to say it's going to be Blount. But who knows? It's really difficult to say just off the bat.
All right, Eric. Well, thank you for checking in with us from up in the press box, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, guys.
All right, take care. Eric Scalavino joining us from inside the press box here at Gillette Stadium as we get ready for Patriots-Buccaneers kickoff about 20 minutes from now. You guys got any final thoughts on today's game as we get ready for the game?
I think it's an interesting game. I don't think I'm as confident about this as you guys are. I think this could be another dogfight. And listen, the last two games could have gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that the Bucs games have gone so far. This is I'm sort of buying into the theory of this is a team that they thought was going to win this year. They thought they were going to make a step. They invested in this team. There's some talent here. It's not as bad a team as the other two, the Jets and the Bills. Talent-wise, this team has more than those two. I'm a little concerned about this game. I think the Patriots will win because they're at home, and I think Brady is that good that he'll figure out how to get enough points out of it, but I don't think this is going to be an easy game.
If he's not texting on the sideline today, as Andy's been talking about.
That's Mark Bertrand injecting his own opinion.
No texting.
Nothing to do with
no
me.
No texting while quarterbacking.
Injecting the opinion that you've espoused for the last hour and 45 minutes.
Well, I don't need to beat a dead horse. I am with you, Paul.
He's
already
the
at the glue factory.
I think it's obvious the talent. I mean, this team has, five Pro Bowlers potentially on offense, couple Pro Bowlers potentially on defense. There is talent there. But it all comes down to Freeman. It all comes down to the quarterback. Is he going to complete 40-something percent of his passes? If so, he's not going to win. He needs to make some plays. He's going to need to get the ball down the field to Vincent Jackson to make some plays. I still have concerns about that aspect of the Patriots' pass defense. I know Paul, if he has the game plan, he's got his safeties way deep today, making
sure
they
don't give up any cheap points. I don't think that Freeman can put together a 12-play drive to beat you. But I think he could put together a 3-play drive to beat you.
And I think Bill Belichick didn't answer my question really this week when I wanted to talk about it, but I think it's an interesting matchup. Patriots have gone a lot of nickel early in the year. The Bucs are a 3-receiver team with a legitimate lead power back. Do you stay in base defense so you have Brandon Spikes on the field to stop Doug Martin? Do you go nickel to try to deal with the passing game? And how you make that decision, how you handle Doug Martin, could go a long way in deciding this football game.
And all of that would work so well for the Buccaneers, having Doug Martin, having those receiving threats, if they just had the quarterback.
Indeed.
If they just had a better quarterback on the team.
Where does he rank among the three quarterbacks
the
they faced?
The Tampa Bay Bucs would be a lot better team. They'd be a lot
right now,
better.
I would say 3.
I would agree.
Based on 2013, I think the two rookies have been better than he has.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait and see, but I don't think Freeman can put it together for this team. That's why I don't give them a lot of credit, and that's why I think the Patriots are going to get a win. And I'll tell you what, if they struggle in this game, it will not be because of Tampa Bay. It'll be because of their own problems.
Will body language be a topic on the Felger and Maz show tomorrow at 2 p.m.?
Tune in tomorrow.
I sure hope not. But I'll be back here
in the
post-game.
Positive. Maybe Dobson breaks out and Brady's doing like hip bumps and chest bumps and head bumps.
See, I do have in the back of my mind that something, I think John said, or James, I think it was James that said, get a big lead and get these guys some production, and all of a sudden it turns into a party, and then they
can laugh about
nice
it.
No.
Then they can yell at us in the locker room afterwards for doubting them and all that kind of stuff. That's the Patriots way.
Well, that's the way.
Chastise the media after a victory. That's the Patriots way.
All right, it's time to go watch this game. Thanks for joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'll be right back here in the same spot after the game on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One. That's coming up after this game ends today. I'll talk to you then. Enjoy the game.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45, at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio for the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
28 seconds remaining. Empty backfield. Three receivers near side right. Pass lead by six. Snap to Fitzpatrick looking over the middle. Fires to the right. Intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Devin McCourty.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.